Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
Hi, this is Daniel Garve of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's the summer of 1990. Dega Hundakwa, or Beans for short, is a typical innocent 12-year-old girl who lives near Montreal with her dad, her ambitious mom, and her little sister. Her biggest worry is getting into a posh private school to guarantee a successful future. But her life is totally changed when the town of Oka tries to grab Mohawk burial grounds in order to expand a golf course. Protests erupt and her family, being Mohawk, joins in. But when it turns into a blockade and a standoff involving police and the military, it reveals acts of violence and virulent racism she has never experienced before. Now she has to make a decision. Should she toughen up like her dad or keep to the straight and narrow like her mom? And how will she emerge from these life-shattering events? Beans is a fantastic new drama told from an indigenous point of view that combines the historical record with a highly personal and intimate coming-of-age story. Since it premiered at TIFF last year, it has garnered dozens of awards for filmmaker Tracy Deer, who has created a world of personal and national importance. The film has just opened in Toronto and Vancouver to be followed by runs across the country, and I'm very pleased to have Tracy Deer here with me via Zoom to tell us more about Beans. Hi, Tracy. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, I'm thrilled to be here, and I loved that summary and that introduction to the film. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So let's set the scene. Beans is set during the so-called Oka crisis of the summer of 1990. So for people who don't know anything about this, can you set the stage about what was going on that summer, not just in Oka and Mohawk territory in Kanesatake, but also in Kanawake?
So politically, what was going on, the forest that the neighboring town of Oka wanted to demolish in order to expand their golf course, that forest was being peacefully occupied by protesters in Gunasadage to protect the forest. And that had been going on for months. And then the town of Oka asked the provincial police to get involved, and they raided that forest. And that is what kicked off a 78-day standoff between the community of Gunasadage, Mohawk community, my community, Ganawage, which is just on the south shore of Montreal. We got involved in solidarity with Gunasadage. We blocked the Mercier Bridge, highways were blocked, and eventually the army was also called in to join the conflict. And it was this very, very insane moment. It was a watershed moment for Indigenous activism. And I think it's one of the ugliest moments in Canadian history for the country.
And you said that's we joined in. We. So what is your personal connection to this at the time? Where were you at the time? Who were you at the time?
So I'm Mohawk, and I'm from the community of Ganawage. I was 12 at the time. So in my reference to we, I am referencing the whole community, but I was 12. So I would not have been making any of the key decisions, and I was certainly not on those front lines holding a line. I was a child, and I was very much like the protagonist in my film, very, very carefree, very happy, very secure. Until that summer really stole all of that from me. And it was the summer that I realized what it means to be Indigenous in this country. And it began a very dark adolescence for me.
Interesting. Now, this is an important Indigenous and important Mohawk story. Can you talk about how your portrayal differs from the mainstream media's portrayal at the time?
Sure. You know, one of the things that I found so striking as a child when we would watch the news and you know, the the crisis was on the news every single night. What I was seeing on the news did not reflect at all what I was experiencing within my community. The images on mainstream media, they were painting us as terrorists, as dangerous. The use of force on their part with both the police and the army, they were touting it as justified. But really the force began on their end. And so this idea that we're dangerous and we're terrorists and, you know, 10, 20 years later, I still meet people in this province who think of my community in that way, who are afraid to come near my community. And it's shocking to me because we are kind, generous, happy people. And so for my aunties, my uncles, my neighbors to be portrayed that way, it didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And so for me, Beans is about coming on to the other side, coming inside and spending time with one particular family to humanize this event, this really horrible moment in history, to humanize it for Canadians and to show them the other side.
Beans, the character, is this amazing 12-year-old girl who plays with stuffed animals, hangs out with her little sister, who's into sprinkles and sparkles, things like that. But because of what's happening around her, she decides she has to be stronger, meaner, tougher. So she enlists an older girl named April to toughen her up. Can you talk about what happens here?
Yeah, I mean, this is really where she goes down another path. She veers off the path that she was on, realizes that something about her is defective. She's not strong enough. She's not tough enough to withstand what the world has for her, and sets out on a mission to become tougher, and really to suppress, you know, so, and it's very, her journey is very, very much inspired by my own journey. This feeling that there's something wrong with who I am and I need to change that. And so she seeks out the kids in the neighborhood who she both is frightened of and admires for their toughness. And they take her under their wing.
And I think the difference between Beans and April is also a class thing, isn't it?
Yes. Beans comes from what I would call a middle class family. Both her parents are working. My father was an iron worker. He built the skyscrapers of New York. My mother was an executive assistant, just like the mother in the film. And so we had comforts in our home, absolutely. And April comes from a broken home, a dysfunctional home. And it provides the context on why this young girl is as tough as she is. It's because she has to be. And that's part of the tragedy.
And like at first when you meet her, she seems like a bully. She's like sort of cruel. So how did you develop her character, not Beans, but April, into someone who's more sympathetic?
You know, bullies are not born, they're made. And so I think it's important to always look at everyone with a compassionate lens to figure out why are they the way they are? Why is this person so angry? Why is this person so cruel? And that was one of the realizations I had as I aged, as I got older, and I reflected back on all the tough people I grew up around, all the tough kids I grew up around, all the tough adults I grew up around. They were not born with this toughness. It was something that they all had to develop because that is the type of world that we live in. And in particular, April, within her family home, this was her defense mechanism. And I'm thrilled that you see the full picture of April and that context, because I think especially our young kids who are bullies, you know, we do have those bullies out there. there's a reason for it, and they need help so that they don't grow up into those adult bullies who end up throwing rocks at innocent children and women. So that's really what I was going for with April.
I love the way you show Beans is the, you know, the title character in the center of the whole film, but the way you show her coming of age in these tiny increments with starting with her clothes, her makeup, her hair, the words she used, her vocabulary, her attitude, her take on the world. So talk about how you managed to sort of spread it out over the consecutive scenes in the movie, and also talk about how much this reflects your own experience.
Mm-hmm. So the film is inspired by the character of Beans, and her family are fictional. Her coming of age and emotional through line are very much pulled from my own coming of age, but I certainly didn't experience every single thing that I make the character experience. Some of the things I have, some of them are ripped directly from my memory. And in terms of how, that's the million-dollar question, because it did take us 8 years to get the script where we wanted it to be. And it was a slow, methodical, at times painful process. And it was just this organic, the writing creative process, I wish I could explain it, but it just builds, it grows, it changes. You grow and change as a writer, as a person. Those 8 years, I think, were needed for the film to be what it is. And yeah, we just kept at it until it felt right. It's very much a feeling that you have as a writer and a director when you feel that it's now working, and that we just had to keep going until it all made sense for us.
The character Beans is played by a remarkable young actress. How did you find her, and why is it desirable for her to be played not just by an Indigenous actress, but by a Mohawk actress?
So I never in a million years thought I would actually be able to get a Mohawk actress to play this part. It's in the back of your mind of like, wouldn't that be great? But the talent you need for a role like this, I certainly wasn't looking specifically only at Mohawk actresses. Let me say that. It was open to all Indigenous actors across the country. We did an open casting call for all four youth roles. We had kids from across the country, from so many different nations apply. We ended up narrowing it down to a short list of five, and we invited them and their families to come to Toronto for a two-day acting workshop. It wasn't Beans specific. It was a chance for them to learn more about acting, more about themselves, so that even those who did not get cast were going home with a, I would like to think, a valuable experience and a better idea of whether acting is something they wanted to pursue. Gawindio was a part of that. And at the end of that, we did do a second casting with everyone there. I was able to pair people up into different sibling groups and see how they interacted. We filmed that. And it was after that experience that I zeroed in on who I wanted to play these roles. Again, a very visceral feeling. It was so clear to me. But then there was lots of discussions with their parents, with them, about a lot of these difficult scenes and how we would film them. My plan to keep the kids safe, my plan to have for them to have fun every day. You know, there was a lot of discussions before it became solidified that she and the rest of them, that they were on board and ready to do it. And yeah, Gawindio is just phenomenal. I did meet her a few months before, actually. I met her on the show Anne with an E. I was on that third season, so I was a part of the team casting for that young Indigenous role. And that's where I first met her and was able to see her just blossom over five episodes. The role was quite different and a lot heavier for Beans. And I'm so thrilled that her and her family were up to that challenge to come on board, because she is the film.
She is, no, remarkable, fantastic. Some of the most disturbing scenes in the movie are where she and her family are the targets of out-and-out racial prejudice and even some violence. And you use this using both, you show this using both period footage and newly filmed material. Can you talk about that experience in the film?
Yeah, those are obviously all the really, really hard days to shoot. The final scenes are very disturbing and very ugly. And yet the task we had before us was, how do we film this in a way that is not traumatizing or re-traumatizing to anyone with us? We had a number of Mohawk extras who had all lived through the Oka crisis as well. So it wasn't just me. So it was a very big task. It was a very big task to do this. The children oftentimes were filmed very separate from the rest of the events of the scene. The only time, there was one scene where that was not possible, but the extras, all of the extras that were playing these racists, these were all incredible, incredible people who knew what they were coming to do. They had full consent, informed consent. It was important to me that nobody showed up and was surprised to know they were going to play a racist. So they all knew beforehand and agreed to come and be a part of this project. And that energy was so important. Big, big hearts. And my instructions to them were to go as dark as you could go when we yell action. But as soon as we yell cut, they needed to come back to who they were and to really bring that positive energy for the kids, for the team, for all of the other Mohawk extras. And they did. They brought it in spades. So there was a lot of laughing, smiling, cheering. They would cheer on the kids. It was really beautiful thing on set. And it's in stark contrast to the final product is in the film.
And that's what I like so much about the movie, in that it shows, it's an unvarnished look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, but it doesn't leave you, it's not a downer movie. It's not a too heavy a movie. It's an enjoyable movie, but an important movie. Thanks so much for telling me about it.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Tracy Deer's new film, Beans, is playing in Toronto, Vancouver, and all across Canada. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.